Lord, truly thank him this morning to be in his presence this morning. Amen. I want to greet everyone in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all strangers amongst us. We truly welcome you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. It just feels fine to be in his presence this morning. Amen. Amen. What an opportunity he has given unto us, whenever we can come back into the house of the Lord. Lift up holy hands and thank him for his saving grace this morning. It's a privilege this morning. Amen. Amen. I won't let it pass by this morning. I'm going to lift my hands in his name this morning. Amen. Amen. Let us sing glory, hallelujah. I love my Savior this morning. Amen. To turn around, greet your brother, greet your sister this morning. He is willing and he is able to break the fetters this morning. Give the stranger a special greeting this morning, amen. Oh, he has set us free. Free to worship him, free to give him the praise. Set my soul afire. Amen. Amen. Fill me, amen. Let us sing that this morning. Amen. You guys sing it. You make it your prayer this morning. Yeah. What a privilege to give unto us. Oh, I want to invite up the people to come and worship him in this part of the city. Oh, he's more than enough for us. Oh, Master Pierre Tapani. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise be unto you, Lord. Night and time, amen. Glory.
And there we stand in unity.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let us hear some things that you can use. Anything, Lord, please use me. Amen. Amen. We want to be used of Him. Amen. This morning.
Thank you.
I see all I have needed, thy hands have provided. Oh, isn't he faithful this morning? Oh, let us lift our hands and say, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you,
with Abraham, now, forever shall be. That's why we expect from him today. Oh, lift your voices all around all the rooms. Great is our faithfulness. Let's worship our God today. He's so gracious to come in our midst, to walk among us. Let's direct our attention to him now. Morning by morning, even this morning. I'm more. New mercies you'll see today. For he is faithful. Judge him faithful today. Confess his faithfulness. Every voice in praise, lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy, you shall find grace to help you in time of need. Come with boldness, come with confidence, draw near unto him in a true heart full assurance of faith. We thank you, Lord. We lift up your mighty name. We give honor and glory unto you today. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. We bless your wonderful name, oh God. We come into your court in praise. We come into your gates of thanksgiving today, Father. Oh, we consider it a blessed opportunity. Lord, it's not a routine for us. It's not a ritual for us, oh God. But it's a blessing, Father. It's a privilege this morning, oh God. Something we embrace. Something that we look forward to. Something we care for, oh God. To come here today, Father. To exalt your name. To lift up your name, dear God. To give you praise. Knowing, oh God, you have no other people but the pride upon the face of the earth. Lord, that love you. And that come and gather, oh God, to worship you and to praise you. And that is why we come today, Father, in this place. Oh, God, to exalt your great mighty name. Because you have done great things for us. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. We give you honor and glory today, dear God. We give you thanks, Father. Because we come in anticipation of a great visitation. We come in anticipation of the movement of your Holy Spirit. That you'll heal the sick today. You'll bind the broken heart. You'll set the captive free. You'll fill people with the Holy Ghost. You'll deliver souls. Oh God, we come in anticipation to receive these things today. Hallelujah! Glory and praise be unto your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I see some people, they still come here like they just come maybe for Sunday. They come in anticipation. They haven't come in expectation. They haven't come knowing with assurance and confidence that God will meet with them, that God will deliver people, that God will save people, that God will break chains around people. Hallelujah! But if you come expecting this to happen, some people come like they have no situations, like they don't need God's help, like they don't need a touch from God, like they're already ready to go into rapture. But I believe if there's a hungry heart here this morning, if some people have children, but in need, if some people need more of the Holy Spirit, after a prayer service like we had on Friday night, we want to come back here and continue where we left off by the grace of God. We don't come here for formality. We don't come here for a program, but we come here to meet with God to say, Lord, you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Lord, I'm making myself available. Here I am this morning. Hallelujah! Oh, my, that's the kind of heart, that's the kind of attitude that the Holy Spirit can work with this morning. Amen. Bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. And you praise Him wherever you are. Forget whether you get a good seat or a bad seat. Forget whether you have money in your pocket or you have no money in your pocket. Amen. Hallelujah. Get in God's presence. Break through every veil. Know that He's God this morning. And know that He's here to give unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. He can supply your need. Blessed be His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Get your heart ready to work with the Holy Spirit to get in the attitude of approach, to get in the spirit, amen, where you can catch the word by faith. Look here, you're here for 25 years. You want to catch it by faith. It can put you into action. If you're only hearing it, maybe you hear it intellectually, say, Lord, I want to hear it where you can set my soul on fire. I want to hear it where you can liberate me. I want to hear it where you can charge me with new faith. Hallelujah! And put me in that kind of attitude where I can hear it the right way. Oh my! Let's give the Lord a hand clap, amen. Give a real happy welcome. We welcome each other. Let's now welcome Jesus Christ. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit, amen. Let Him be the special one. Let Him be the one that your attention and your affection is set upon. The one you are looking to this morning. In 1998, we didn't make no New Year resolution, but we dedicate our lives to God's service. Hallelujah! When people make resolutions, it'll last 1 week in the New Year, and they go back to the old things. But when people recognize their weak places, and they get strengthened, they burn them bridges, and they move on power. Amen. Give me some volume up here also, amen. Bless the Lord of my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, my soul, Lord, are you hearing me? Hallelujah! Oh, bless His holy name. That's what we come for, isn't it? Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Not just with your lips, but with your soul this morning. And oh, that is good in me. Hallelujah. Then you get something from God.
Holy.
Oh, confess it now. I will bless the Lord. With all my soul. If I'm the only person here today, I'm not thinking about the person next to me. Hallelujah, I come here to meet with God this morning. I didn't come here to examine the heat in the building. I didn't come to see who is wearing what. I come here to meet with God this morning. Oh, I will bless the Lord with all my soul. Come on, you mothers here. You have a good seat. You sing, you lift your voice. You young men in the back, you lift your voices. You in the room, some of this place, lift your voices out here. Let's lift up Jesus Christ. Let's exalt Him. Let's make Him the center of our worship. For He has done great things for me. God with appreciation. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, man. Let's worship Him. Let's get lost in the Spirit. Let's exalt Him, man. You watch it make all the difference. Oh, I will bless you, Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord, amen. Hallelujah! Oh, that is what it means.
Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. We give you praise. We welcome you in our midst today to take full charge of this service, dear God. Lord, without you, it will be in vain. We just ask that you take control. Lord, from that greatest release, even those on the hill in the Sunday school, let this entire area, oh God, this entire compound where your people are gathered together, be so under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let your angels, your ministering spirits, who are sent forth in your presence, to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation, be posted at the right places, dear God. Lord God, may every evil spirit be driven away completely from this place, dear God, where the children of God can be taken up into your mighty presence and be ministered to today. Lord, only in this place we can live strengthened, we can live focused, we can live rooted and grounded, established. We can deliver the very things that we are in need of. We can leave, oh God, knowing that we have received them, Father. Oh God, you have put the key in our hands. May you grant it, Lord. We thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that we ask for all these things, believing that we have received what we ask for, and remembering that you said, and you shall have them. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Tell them to be the person next to you. Tell them God bless them. Let them have a right atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. If it's one person, we have to do the business to stay together. Amen. Don't let the devil have no doubts whether you mean business with God. You make it, give clear signals. Amen. Make it certain that you're not going to play church. Amen. Glory be to God. But sometimes people didn't even want to tackle people if they see them in a certain attitude, if they see them in a certain atmosphere. They say, I don't want to tackle that man at all. If you only touch that man, you'll explode. Let me stay far from that man. Amen. But it's better, it's always better like that. Glory when it's devil. Like when Joshua saw that man there, he brought his sword and said, are you for us or against us? Declare yourself quick. Amen. You see what kind of atmosphere they were in? Praise the wonderful. God bless you. Have a seat. Well, we're certainly happy to be getting adjusted, making progress as we adjust and see that we are advancing our adjustments and we are fine-tuning the areas that we need to fine-tune. And we certainly appreciate all that is working behind the scenes to keep things running smooth and all that is involved, and you see what is happening already is going to require the involvement of everyone by the grace of God. So there's not going to be no place for bystanders. There's not going to be a place for spectators. All the spectator benches are burnt. All the commentators' box have been burnt as well. Spectator and commentator have been loosed to the devil. Amen. Let me deliver to Satan. Amen. We need a place of participators. Amen. Glory. Dictator. He's with spec and comment. The whole Tater family is out the church. Thank God for that. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. We just have place to sing. Bloodwashed saints. And all who desire to be bloodwashed saints. Amen. And we have a room here. Amen. You receive your invitation, you come to the man by the door and he have a robe to give you. So when the king is checking the robes, you don't get bound hand and feet and cast out into the darkness. You don't get thrown back through the window. Amen. Glory. But your robe shows you come by the door.
And the robe is none other than the baptism
of the Holy Spirit.
How grateful we are that the robe we must wear at the marriage supper. And we are thankful for that. And we are happy to know that that is our inspiration. That's what we start the year with. That's what we are looking for. And you know, I was so surprised reading somewhere in the paper the first week that in the Catholic Church, and I tell you, you make a move, but when the Holy Spirit says Jubilee year, they say Jubilee year. When you know, they come and say 1990 is the year of the Holy Spirit. And they start to declare the Pope, and they start to say, yeah, the Holy Spirit. So you just know that, amen, that God really pours out the Spirit upon the just and the unjust. Amen. They unrighteously partake of spiritual blessings. And brother, eventually, you see those things, it's just going to make it manifest what it is. Amen. Not going to deceive the elect, but the elect know what is happening. And that is why we are happy to know that this is the year of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know why? Because before they go to the marriage supper, you have to check every robe. Amen. But before the bride goes to the rapture, they must have that seal of God. An angel with the seal of God to mark them in their forehead, them that sigh and cry. Not only can I make believe business, but the reality where it directs you to the Word, where it brings forth the fruit and the evidence and the identification that you are a born again child of God. Amen. The bride tree restored back. And remember, joy is only one of the fruit. Amen. Leaves, it's just fellowship. Amen. But there's so much more fruit in that tree. So we'll be bearing 9 fruit. Amen. We'll have every fruit that needs to be there. And that's why when you look at the tree, you have to make sure it's the right type of tree. Not just a joy tree. But it must have joy, because that's where its strength is. The joy of the Lord is his strength. So we are certainly happy for all that is in the house of God. May you be welcome, but to make you feel welcome again. Double welcome is always good. We know we have a lot of welcome to give out here. We want everyone to feel welcome by God's grace. And we are certainly not going to leave those who to spend 2 and 3 weeks in looking at the monitor. We are certainly, if you have any doubts, let me remove the doubts right now. We are paying close attention to people in the side rooms who have not maybe had the privilege of us in the sanctuary. Because you know, we would certainly like to share with some and like to alternate. And we wouldn't want the people to do that for themselves. We'd like to, since it is a limited seat and since we are designed to keep ordering the best that we can, we'd like the deacons and the ushers to attend to that. So instead of people going and tell, okay, I'll do it, you and swap and so on, they are taking close note and close attention to having the people situated. And remember, if you're not happy with a particular seat that you are getting, just ask the usher, say, you know, I feel more comfortable in the back, I feel a little more comfortable up front here. If there was space, they could give it to me. And we can do all these things cordially, we can do all these things smoothly, we can do these things. You see, when you know that it is there for you, and when you understand the system is designed to make sure that you be comfortable, then you don't have to get defensive or aggressive. Because if you're defensive, you're afraid you lose yours. If you get aggressive, you're afraid you may not get one. And you don't have to go through those things. Remember, it's a service to be made available to anyone by God's grace. So if you say, I'd like to be up close up, you know, I feel, you know, the Lord is with me right now, and I want to be right here, and I need to be up front right now. I don't need to be in the middle, I don't need to be in the back, because, you know, I think I need some strength, and I feel like I can pass, it's going to be more involved, closer up. We'd appreciate that. We want people to be strengthened by God's grace. Amen. So remember, we don't have these things on filling out a form in advance, whether you're like an aisles or a window or a middle seat or a side seat or what. But we do have consideration for people who may have to use the restroom a little more regularly than some. You kind of put to the side there, you have a little problem or something and you need to get to the restroom. We try to locate you where you don't have to move too much and cause a distraction and where it can be more convenient for you. So all these things, see a deacon after service, they're always by the doors. You see those brothers by the doors, they're the deacons, introduce themselves to you. Just tell them, you know, consider my seat, and they'll open up the ushers and they will inform them. So one time the ushers see you coming down, they know okay, where they can help you. If they don't have one available for you, they're going to try to work one out for you quickly. And so it's going to take cooperation from both sides. so we can handle this. We are more than grown up. We are more than friendly. We are more than family we're dealing with. It's one home church. It's one sort of people here, and we are certainly not trying to discriminate or be prejudicial or partisan in anything. We are trying to do it for the body believers, because when we look at you, we are your servants. You are the purchase of the blood. We just have a stewardship to make sure we take care of the master's possession in the right way, and we are going to be held accountable and responsible for whatever responsibility he commits to us. So we want to do it. And the evidence that we are doing it successful is when you are happy. When the church is happy, the pastor is happy, God is happy, the prophet says. So this is what we're trying to do. We're a happy church. We don't want to make things difficult for you and then try to preach you happy at the same time. We'll be working against our own self. Instead of trying to preach you happy, and we don't have to do the preach, we can just do a service for you to get you happy, then we like to do the service. Then you'll already be happy, then we can try to make someone else happy who is not happy. Maybe a visitor or a stranger who the world might be taking a great toll on and beating them into hell or somewhere. We like to make them feel happy when they come here and get them delivered, take the pressure off of them. Because we already have the saints in the church in the right kind of atmosphere. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yes. Amen. Praise his lovely name. So we desire to have that by God's grace. So, you know, I'm not preaching these days. I'm just trying to oversee things. And aren't you glad to me?
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. I'm glad you understand. So let me do a few pastoral things and overseer things. And it's time I take a little break, and I need it. I deserve it. And I can't say I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, but I want, by the grace of God, at the same time, to make sure everything gets regularized quickly. And I know the importance of neglecting to make the right announcements and these things in a church, especially when they move in a certain direction. And I want the church, as I say, to be paying careful attention to announcements and these things that have been made. If you notice, when you come down, as I said, try to develop a little relationship with a board here. That's a very impersonal kind of person, that board. But it has some good announcements for you. So sometimes you get just trained to human being making announcements, but that board is like a big memory to the voice that's already speaking here. So when you pass and you check the board, things that are already spoken is put in the board to keep you in remembrance. And then they have the phone numbers of all the officers and the ministers in the church there, that it can help you. You need prayer, you need an interview, you need different things. These can be set up. We have a lot of things to change the order of. So please, we are trying to get these things worked out, because almost every area in the church, we are restructuring and trying to fine-tune it to the place where we can be more in touch with our people, we can do more for our people, and as soon as we get these things worked out, then get you informed, then get it operative, where it become the new pattern of relationship and interaction, and then where it's understood, then everything will be smooth. But first, before we can even reach there, we have to start to say what we want to do, because we can't be changing it every 5 minutes. Or every 2 days, we change something, say, no, that didn't work, we try this. That will be confusing you. You wouldn't know which is outdated, which we're working with, which what we're not working with. So as we get it sorted out, as we begin to see a lot of the areas that prop up, that is not being managed properly, is we don't have it under control as we ought to, and find a better way to do something that we are doing, but only pleasing some people or helping some people, but a lot of other areas are unattended, then we have to restructure it. Sometimes you, the individual who are benefiting, do not know it have 40% not benefiting, though you're benefiting. And then we have to find a way to change to do that to accommodate everybody. Sometimes we need more manpower. Sometimes we need more involvement of the manpower that we have. But you have the right amount of manpower, but everybody giving 20%. So we say, no. Instead of we crowd up everything and get double manpower, why don't we get the manpower we have to give 50% instead of 20? And we get them more involved, and we find we can do it. Then we are not clashing, we're not bouncing up with nobody. We don't have 3 and 4 people trying to tell somebody one thing, which can make it easy, because remember, when one person hears this one, tell them this, and next person hears them, tell them that, and next person tell them something, and if they get conflicting advice in there, then it'd be confusing the very people we're trying to help. And then sometimes it takes a little while for us as ministers and officers
to get one understanding before we come among the people. And then half our problem comes when we go in among the people and we don't have one understanding. So sometimes we have to make sure at that level we have one understanding. When we have one understanding, then we are telling the people the same thing. Then we have to become one voice to the people because we're united under one head. Sometimes we don't tell you everything. And we can't tell you everything. We're not to tell you everything. Otherwise, we'll get time to preach the word. But sometimes if something's related to administration, we try to sort it up in the back and just make sure it do better for you. You want a better, you go in a burger place, you get a, you eat your pizza or something, you find, well, the place hot, they should have fun and different things. Well, you know, they have one or two people come in, a little suggestion, box something, they say, okay, so and so, could be done better to serve the people. That's why we try to have some of the men's meetings. We come in the service of the men, we had the first one that was like kind of taking off. A little stormy weather, but we get off the runway a little bit, but we want to get airborne. You know, when you're taking off on a runway, you're to build up enough speed to get airborne, otherwise you fly around a little bit. You have to use so much of fuel just to get airborne, and if you hit a couple of air pockets before you can even get to your flying altitude, then we say, you know, you're already behind on your schedule already. So we are hoping by the grace of God that we can get past some of the turbulence, some of the air pockets, and then tell everybody, okay, you can loosen your seatbelt, you can move around in the cabin a little bit, because everything's going to be civil, refreshment, relax everybody, real nice. I don't say, see that, observe the seatbelt sign, keep the air, don't move around right now, we have some turbulence, we're having the next 15, 20 minutes before we can really get going. So sometimes you have things like that. So I want you, as a church, to know all these things are necessary, but certainly we are not going to lapse. We are not going to let things run slack and get ragged, because we are certainly, if we have to fire, we're going to fire. If we have to hire, we're going to hire. But we are not just going to play around with a lot of dead birds and halfway things to keep the people who want to go on from moving on by the grace of God. And the people already came before you and pledged their support. So you look for them to serve you. And you call upon them to serve you, because we're not doing carnival in the church. When you come to service, look for them by the door. They ought to be standing there. When you leave service, service is dismissed, and you have to see them, look for them there. They ought to be there by the grace of God. We want to see we move forward by God's grace. Time we see things really on the move, and that service on Wednesday for the next month or so, within the month, I think for this month rather, I should say it this way, until further notice. But for this month, on Wednesday nights, we would have our men's meetings. So you want to come and have that on Wednesday night. And please remember, these services is designed this way to meet certain needs. It's not just for just doing something. These are objective type meetings. This is to break the ice. This is to bring closer fellowship. This is to get the men in the church to know what is in their heart. Because we recognize the men in the assembly, men who have families, men who stand at the head of homes, men who have made decision to bring their families here to become part of the assembly, men who, like when David, when God was setting up the kingdom to fulfill Samuel's prophecy, and brother, you know, the house of Saul and the house of David, there was constant struggle and different things. Finally, Saul died. Finally, Abner come to his senses and they realized all the politics had to stop. And the men came, and you see, Judah had already made David king. See, but the prophecy was all Israel. And then when they came, they said, we are your flesh and bone. And I believe if men have made a decision to come here, and brother, they recognize the presence of God, they recognize the word, they want to stand, they want to serve God with a certain objective, I believe they have a say in the church. And I believe that, you know, we have a forum, we have a way to do things to benefit the world. But we're not here to break up. We are here to build. We are here to, not for confusion. We are here to strengthen. We are here to edify. We are here to get rooted and grounded. We are here to consolidate. We are here to go forward with unto a true objective. Amen. And where we can be of help to each other, where we can understand as men how best each home can benefit. Who else other than the man of the house can say what is needful in his house, and what way by us pulling our spiritual and physical resources together can bring a greater advancement to each home by the godly influence, by the word, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, by what we can do together as a body with resources. Then that would be a wonderful way and a wonderful thing to get operating. And that meeting, when we say men, every male in the assembly. And it's a good place of fathers and sons to be together in fellowship. Men in the home, men of conviction, men come with their sons, come with the church. Talk the things of God, talk the word. And to bring to the men a clearer vision of what we as ministers and officers understand what we are trying to do, that same understanding can come to the rest of the men in the assembly as well, the same way. That is not exclusive private revelation for the pastor and a few people. If a man has to follow something, you have to understand what's leading him. If a man has to, two can't walk together except they agree. And we want the agreement not to even be a more refined agreement, and where we all can become more scriptural men. We can be assisted and can grow in knowledge and grace from having the right atmosphere and the right type of fellowship. And, you know, the prayer service. We had the first one for the year Friday. We have it Friday again. But in the men's meeting, we can find out from some of you. And even maybe get a feeling of, remember, we are willing to make our prayer meetings any day suitable. And then we will be watching our prayer meetings. So by the time our prayer meeting becomes a little formal, our prayer meeting, we are losing something because Friday might not be a good day, or because people getting adjusted to a new routine. We'll come back Wednesday and have prayer service Wednesday. Or have it Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Or if you come in Sunday morning, we can have a part of our service, a prayer service. Remember, we don't want to become saying, I come in here an hour and a half preaching. And I don't care about this song service. I don't set ready. I ain't feeling to sing too much this morning. This service is start for me right now. We're not coming for that type of thing. When we come in the house of God, we come to meet with God. What God wants to do this morning. He is the leader of the church. Amen? Praise his wonderful name. I tell you, we're in for good times this year. I tell you, we can get people on the move, but we're going to see things happen by the grace of Almighty God. And I want to say a special thank you again for some of the men who I asked for some help and some assistance. And I know I asked them privately in the course of the prayer meeting. And some of you who might have seen people coming to pray with you. Now, anybody in the prayer meeting that you see coming to pray with you, remember, I'm in the prayer meeting. And remember, I'm praying with my eye closed. God didn't tell me you can only pray with your eye closed. That's the thing we do for concentration. But some people concentrate with the eye open just as good. And I'm one of them. Amen. The thing is, I pray to the soul, praying to God, not my body. But sometimes the body is hindering the soul, so you try to lock off all the faculties of the body. See? But that's what the Holy Ghost is good about. Because the Holy Ghost is putting the body in subjection. You don't have to lock it off, you can keep it in subjection while the soul operates. So this, by the grace of God, is what I'm trying to say is that if somebody's going to pray to you, they've been asked. And I said, I don't have a revelation. These things is confined to officers. I have a lot of people here that might know the word more than officers. I have a lot of people here that might have a closer walk with God more than officers. But Abraham said, you have people in the church who, they in the church, he said, we found a man who's the perfect thing for a deacon. He said, but the man was married. He said, that disqualified the man. But as far as doing the duties, getting it done efficiently, he said, we had the man. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, what I'm saying, prayer is not so much an office thing. Prayer is a heart thing. Prayer is a feeling thing. Prayer is a burden thing. Prayer is a concern thing. Prayer is a commitment thing. Prayer is how much time you spend in God's presence, how much you know the word, and how much you make yourself available for God. That is what prayer is. And I have many men here in the assembly that I believe they spend time with God. They listen to the word. They're in the word. The spirit is our word spirit. They wait before God. They're concerned about the church. They love the ministry. They see the burden in the ministry. They want to help in the ministry. They want to see the church go forward. I believe I can call on people like that to help. I believe God will hear and answer the prayer for you. Because if I'm preaching to you and I'm preaching to see the church get there, I wouldn't bring anybody to pull it back from if I'm trying to push it up. But what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to let the church understand. Sometimes in a certain season you do certain things, and then people take that and make that a set way for eternity. But a lot of these things was only seasonal. It was needed to be done at a certain time. But when that served its purpose, then we don't have to be governed and controlled and be bound up and can't move out from some of those things. When you get more men conscious, more people can hear the word, more people growing in faith, more people can hear the word, more people getting under the burden, more people die out to themselves, more to become liberated, and more to get the Holy Ghost, then our minister must know where people can help. And that's what I'm saying. All the ministries don't operate from the desk. I'm not looking to cluster the desk. And I'm not looking to try to give the impression that the church can only be assisted from when somebody's standing behind the desk. As a pastor, I always tell people, preaching is only 40% of the ministry. And that is why I saw the need and the burden to change up service. Because what we do for years left 60% of our problems unsolved and untouched and uncultivated. And that's why I'm driving in some new things here to say, focus on the areas that we are weak, because we have a lot of weak areas. We have a lot of undeveloped areas. We have a lot of areas that need protecting and getting a greater hold on what we have and building on what we have. And this is the type of understanding I'm trying to generate in the assembly. So when we come as a church, we don't have to struggle with the sick. We don't have to struggle with people who are in the Holy Ghost. People can understand. And the people, some of you elder ones there, you get in the word. Fires, get into it. You see, you know why sometimes when these type of services come, you'll be handicapped? It'll show you your concept of the word. So when you now have to lead somebody to Christ, when you have to lead somebody to the Holy Ghost, when you lead somebody to the new birth, you find that you're almost deficient. When you have to stand and intercede for somebody, you find that somebody can't get into a person's infirmity and situation. You find that somebody deserving of a person is off. You know what I'm saying? And people, many times, before they can even receive from God, they have to understand the approach to certain things. Prophets say, people get the Holy Ghost, preaching the Holy Ghost. Then we get saved, preach salvation. Then we get healed, preach healing, create the atmosphere for healing. Set the heart and mind in the attitude to receive healing, to know the basis upon which it's given, to know the approach to it, to know the requirement you have to meet, to know the obstacles and the enemies, like sight and time, and battling with these things, to understand a miracle and healing, two different things, to be taught the approach to it that you can come into it. You see, God thing is already set and God thing is sure. But the way to come into it is a way of being taught, to be understood, how to appropriate, how to apprehend these things. And then the type of help, some of you who in the room and with the people here, get into the word, search your messages, wait before God. I will try to make some available to you too, that can help you and make it easier for you. You see, but the thing is, I am conscious. This is not like a political party where I tell you do this and then your mind gets robotic. And you are just trying to do something. And then I can't be here and everywhere listening to everybody to see your approach. And that's why in some of the men's meetings, if we have questions along these lines, we can talk even further on these things. They're going to help us as a church. It means to say we have to be willing to mature and become real servants of God. And servants of God is a term applied to preachers or deacons or trustees. Servants of God is for those who God have dealt with in a way of salvation, deliverance, and knowing them to pardon their sins, having the new birth, and realize that their life is a life given back in service to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his people, is what it is. Deacons and trustees, that is an administration of the church, because you can't have 50 men trying to see but one thing that 6-7 men can take care of. That's just an administration for the smooth operating while we have services gathered together. But then the work goes beyond the couple of hours that we spend here. So these are the things that we are certainly desiring. So Wednesday, men's meeting, important meeting, and I appreciate very much how the men came out attired for the service. You see, one of the things is your comportment. A lot of people dress sloppy, look sloppy, and once they that way, watch them, they talk sloppy and act sloppy too. When a man begins to realize he needs to carry himself a certain way, he'll conduct himself, his comportment, he knows that he's a loose individual to identify with people. Like I tell the minister brothers sometimes, you have all kinds of people in the congregation. And as a minister, you represent everyone. And if you don't realize, you can get selfish in your own way. And you realize you represent a lot of people. And when you not represent the people correctly, you're either misrepresenting them. Because a lot of people have certain standards. And if they figure out certain standards for a minister a certain way, they say, I see that minister the other day, don't care about himself. Why are you so ashamed to say that my minister? You know what I'm saying? My people, where I work, and they respect me there. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you have to be conscious that we identify with the people. And we have to become all things to all people. To really serve the bride of Jesus Christ. And the same way, it's not a one-way thing. The people themselves too have to come up to a certain standard. If we have to give a correct representation. When we forget we are here as a body gathered together in public, then when the public comes in, they see us different than how we see each other. But they come in from their world where there was all kinds of churches out there, and then they come in here and they want to know sometimes, is this one like that? Is this one like that? What kind is this? Let me watch them see. And remember, half the time they might not even understand the word yet. They just see a few people and their mind make up. You say, see me? I ain't think here's the place. That's why we have to be that conscious by the grace of God. Why? Why is all this necessary? Because we love him. And when you love somebody, you want to please him. And if we love the Lord, we want to please the Lord. And to please the Lord, we have to represent him right. If we know him, if he has done something for us, if he's real to us, we want others to know him, because there is so much misrepresentation of him today. And he has unveiled himself to us that we might see him and know him. And know how he desires to be represented in this age. Is that all right? Amen. The prayer service, I want to say this is the year of the prayer service too. I'm officially announcing it this morning, January 11, 1998, Introduction Assembly. This is the year of the prayer service. Let me hear a resounding amen if you agree with that. Amen. Amen. This is the year of the prayer service. And I want to say number one objective in the prayer service, intercessory prayer. The highest form of prayer, like Abraham standing in the gap. Amen. Not prayer for self, but a people that God dwells in to stand there. And then you'll see people receive. So this is the year of the Holy Spirit. And this is the year of the prayer meeting. So you know what I expect. Don't look for nothing else. It's not going to have something else. You have it, you want more of it. You don't have it, you want it. You don't know about it, you want to know about it. You have it, but you can't. You don't got to let it loose. You want to know how to let it loose by the grace of God. May God give us a great, wonderful time in these things. So these are some of the announcements. And as far as library services, I want the librarian to be in touch with me to keep me informed and keep me up to date, because I certainly am not yet able to run around to every little place. We certainly down here don't want to forget the Sunday school and that up there. And we are trying to get portions by portions operative and coordinated. So when we come here, how much of our families is come here, how much individuals, how much people come here looking to receive from the Lord, to worship the Lord, to learn of the Lord, to prepare for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what the Holy Spirit is desiring to do among the people when He comes. We are trying to capture these things from the Word. We are trying to get it clear. We are trying to lay it out, and we are trying to see it come into a manifestation and not become just operative for 1 week and 1 month, but we can have continuity, we can have development, we can see it go from strength to strength until when we are here, we are in the presence of the Lord. We know we got presence, we can feel the presence, we can discern the Spirit moving, we can reach out and touch as He goes by. Amen? All right, let's get ready for the Word. Let's stand to our feet. Read your quote and get our hearts ready for it. And please, on Friday, remember when we come, Friday prayer service is not going to be like last year and this type of where you come in and you lay down there and pray and that type of thing. And all these times and announcements and these things, the exhortations being spoken as far as the operating of the church of the Holy Spirit. Receive these things as the mind of the Spirit. Receive these things as God communicating His thoughts to you, that you can know how to line up and get your heart in tune. And then that means, even in your own environment, your preparations to come into the house of God would be in order to receive. Amen? So praise His wonderful name. We are certainly looking to see a real moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a quote what the Holy Ghost was given for. He said, that's the way God did. He followed His own laws. God cannot follow. Get your heart, get the music soft for me. You get ready now to turn over to the Word. I want your heart right set. And please just go sit down to be preached to you. Paul of the Word. Amen the Word. Respond. Don't let the preacher stand here and wonder if you're agreeing, if you're supporting, if you believe, if you're not understanding. Half of the time he doesn't know where he's going to preach a mind. And sometimes he's spending 15, 20 minutes elaborate and go all here because some of you sit down there that blank stare and he don't know if you get me. But if he's preaching and hitting the Word and he's responding back, you know you're getting it, he's not going to spend 15, 20, 30 minutes trying to make it clear. You know you're already getting it. Remember, it's not a one-way thing. A two-way street. That's the way God did. God followed His own law. God can't follow and give you one law to follow and Him follow another. He followed His own law. God, then in order to redeem the lost church, the lost world, the lost creation, God, who is infinite in spirit, to redeem the lost human race, God Himself became kinfolks, a man, a son, that He created in the womb of Mary. He made an ensign or a testimony outside the gates of Jerusalem. He was lifted up between the heavens and the earth and died and redeemed everything. And in bleeding, He sanctified a church. Are you part of that church? That He Himself might live in and fellowship and commune with. That lost pot of fellowship from the Garden of Eden where God came down every evening, church time. Did you notice God came down in the cool of the day, setting the sun? What time are we living in? Evening time.
Something to see. There's something when it starts to get night. God, people think of church and God. Christians, you see the setting of the sun. You realize your sun is setting. And the cool of the evening, you'd come down and commune with them. And there he lost that fellowship because sin would not let him do it. Sin always stopped God from fellowshipping the way he designed. God wants to make his will known to you. God wants to keep you close to him, to walk with you and talk with you, to lead you and guide you by his Spirit, to work with you, to work in you and through you. That's the same purpose. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's the Father again. God the Father dwelling in you, working out his plans to finish his plan of redemption, working through you, making you a co-worker with him. Think of it. That's what the matter with the meetings today. There's not enough spirit touching. Put some spirit touch in the meeting today. To go for the souls of the lost and the dying, it's more to make a name or a church or a building or a denomination. Prophet came and could hardly find people in a church that's burdened for the lost. He finds each church wants to make the denomination the best denomination. Each church gets self-righteous and says, we are the way. The next church is not the way. And having church competition and church wars. It's more to make a name or a church or a building instead of a soul within the program. How pitiful. He said God poured himself into Christ. Correct? Christ poured himself into the church. Therefore, watch it. That day you will know that I'm in the Father and you in me and I in you. And that day you will know it. But the whole thing is one plan of redemption coming down. That God coming back to living and dwelling and commune with his people as he did. Now then, as soon as he gets the church in speaking conditions, gets his church to a place that he can flow himself to and love and persuade and fellowship, then there will come an Eden. He'll take his church right back to where it left him, back to an Eden again, where it fell. That's where it made it first start or fall. There is where it will be taken back with every clean slate of redemption, bringing them back straight to that place again. How could I read that? How could I believe that? How could I know that that's what God wants to do for this day? And then try to have a different kind of church. I've been misleading people. I've been blinding people. I've been misrepresenting Christ. But when I see that's the desire of God, that's the desire of the Holy Spirit, if I could get the people in harmony with what God is desiring, and they desire what God is desiring, then there'll be nothing that God cannot do for his people, in his people, and through his people. You believe that? Let's bow our heads and get ready for the word. Almighty God, now as we're about to turn over to receive the word, the message for today, that portion of daily bread that is to be given to us as we desire, give us this day our daily bread. Sufficient is the evil for the day, and the bread, the nourishment that can enlighten us and strengthen us and make us overcomers, that we might walk in victory today and live in the power of the Spirit. Take a hold of his servant as it comes. Anoint him and use him. May there be a pull of faith in the hearts of the people. Let there be a great moving of your Spirit today, Father. Let there be deliverance wrought throughout this building. Even those who are not a Christian, the Holy Spirit is to arrest them. And may we as believers of the church train, oh God, that we have a prayer in our heart, even for the unsaved in our midst, even for those that is seeking and contending for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, that there'll be no limit to what you can do today, Father. Grant it, Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. There's never been a thing.